In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago I told you about Irene Koster, a Catholic schoolgirl known as the Little Flower of Kenosha. And today I'll tell you another true story about a good Catholic student, this time a boy from Pennsylvania named Carl Aloysius Boles, who lived around the same time as Irene did. Carl was born on Ascension Thursday in the year 1919 as the seventh of 14 children. And when Carl started school, his neatness, diligence, and mildness of nature seemed to assert themselves. He learned quickly and easily, and in his play with other children, Carl always saw that there was nothing wrong. He stopped quarrels and helped to right wrongs that might have occurred. And his manner in doing these things made such a great impression on neighbors of the family that they set him up as their own children, as an example of what they wanted them to be like. And these people were mostly non-Catholic and Jewish people. When serving as an altar boy, Carl was always very reverent. He was never late. As soon as he was vested, he took up a prayer book or his rosary and prayed until the priest arrived and it was time to go to the altar. Other boys teasingly said to him, "You don't belong here. You belong in the Blessed Mother's arms." His devotion was so great that he gave up his sleep in the early morning to serve the early masses, especially during the school's summer vacations. On days when there was no school, Carl would take his smaller brothers and sister for walks to the church, where he would pray the Stations of the Cross, just as he often prayed before or after school hours. At those times, he explained to the little ones about the need for their salvation, how to pray, what the pictures and statues represented, and gave them various Bible stories. On one of his pilgrimages, as he called them, Carl walked the entire distance of 5 miles from his home to a newly established Carmelite monastery in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He walked the entire distance and back again, offering his day and his prayers for the poorest of the poor souls in purgatory. He had to make this pilgrimage all by himself because he could get nobody else to endure the weariness, loss of time, and too much trouble. But Carl would never avoid suffering or trouble because Jesus suffered so much more than we could ever repay. His mother once asked him how he prayed and how could he keep his devotion concentrated. And he answered, "If I am praying to the Blessed Mother, I imagine her before me as the most beautiful lady with angels and flowers all about her. When I serve Mass, I follow our dear Lord on the way to Calvary. Then there can be no mistake or loss of devotion." Carl's last Christmas on earth was in the year 1932, when he was 13 years old. On Christmas Eve, he went early to bed because of a headache and because he wished so much to be well enough to serve at the Christmas Mass at dawn at 5 o'clock. He served the Mass, received Holy Communion, and then rested most of the Christmas day because his head still ached. He remained ill during the whole Christmas week, but he forced himself to go to Mass on the Feast of the Holy Name, being a member of the Holy Name Society, even though Carl became more ill in the crowded church. The following Monday, he again forced himself to go to school and not to miss his January examinations, which lasted 3 days. After the third day, he went immediately to see a doctor, where he was ordered to return to bed. That same night, after trying to partake of the evening meal with the family, Carl fell into a coma and was rushed into hospital. All the while he was in a coma, he did not release his big brown rosary, but held it tight in his hand. It could not be taken away from him. Although he did not seem to hear or see anything, his lips were constantly moving as in a prayer, while the beads were moving through his fingers. When a priest came to make a sick call to him, Carl suddenly woke up from coma, spoke with the priest, made his confession, received Holy Communion, and prayed with the priest. Immediately after Carl was through with the final prayers, he lapsed again into a coma, hearing nothing, seeing nothing, just moving his lips in prayer and holding tightly to his rosary. On Friday morning of January 20th, 1933, Carl's mother, who was now in final stage of her latest pregnancy, came from the nearby church where she had attended in the morning mass to visit Carl for the last time, and he died at the very moment his mother entered his room. When Carl was laid out at home to be viewed in his coffin, he wore his beloved altar boy cassock and surplice, given to him by the kind sisters of his school who had taught him, and who always admired his obedience and politeness, together with his piety. Hundreds and hundreds of people, even strangers who had admired Carl, came to mourn and to view him for the last time. The church for the Requiem Mass of this altar boy was crowded to overflowing, and car after car followed to their cemetery where his burial took place. That same night, 13 hours after Carl was buried, the Boles family was blessed with a new baby, a girl who was given the name Agnes. She was born in the same hospital where the mother some days before had seen her dear son die. Thereafter, when the mother was caring for little Agnes, who could not sleep and would walk around the house or just sit and pray for the repose of her recently deceased son, she heard what seemed like a voice telling her to stop praying for Carl and instead always pray for the poorest soul in purgatory, Carl's favorite devotion. Finally, the mother ceased praying for Carl and obeyed, and prayed for the poorest of the poor souls. Then the voice ceased, and at about the same time, the mother one night had a dream in which she saw what she thought was the child Jesus beyond a church window, enclosed in a beautiful garden, but on closer look saw that the child was Carl. This dream was a consolation to her, and she became daily more and more reconciled to the loss of Carl. Although she had lost a wonderful child, she knew she had gained for herself something more wonderful, a little saint in heaven. You see, children, his classmates were right after all. Carl did not belong to this world. He belonged to the arms of Blessed Virgin Mary. He is again one of those little ones who became a saint by doing his ordinary things extraordinary well. You children also belong to your heavenly mother, and make sure in your schoolwork and in your whole life that you ask her protection, you show love and reverence to your parents, and never forget to pray for the poor souls, and learn to love and spend time with God in the church. God bless you. In the